It's Thursday, November 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Coming up, Donald Trump is elected president.
I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
How did Mr. Trump win the White House, and what may lie ahead as he deals with complex world issues? We look at Hillary Clinton and the women's vote. Also ahead, a solo direction for a member of One Direction. It's all on today's International Edition. In one of the greatest political upsets in U.S. political history, Republican Donald Trump defeated Democrat Hillary Clinton early Wednesday, and he will now become the 45th president of the United States in January. People across the globe woke up to a different world on the news. It's being called the Earth's most watched election since World War II, one that will transform American policy and America's position in the world. Analysts said the New York billionaire's victory amounts to a seismic shift at a time when Washington's relations with Russia are difficult, conflicts in Syria and Ukraine are still raging, the war on Islamic State militants is ongoing, China's behavior is growing increasingly defiant and nationalistic, and hundreds of thousands of migrants and refugees are on the move. Many world leaders made no secret of their preference for Democratic Party candidate Hillary Clinton, who was Secretary of State and was known to many of them. In Washington Wednesday, the political healing began with Hillary Clinton making her concession speech.
Our constitutional democracy demands our participation, not just every 4 years, but all the time. So let's do all we can to keep advancing the causes and values we all hold dear, making our economy work for everyone, not just those at the top, protecting our country and protecting our planet, and breaking down all the barriers that hold any American back from achieving their dreams. We've spent a year and a half bringing together millions of people from every corner of our country to say with one voice that we believe that the American dream is big enough for everyone, for people of all races and religions, for men and women, for immigrants, for LGBT people, and people with disabilities, for everyone.
President Barack Obama, who campaigned vigorously for Clinton in the closing weeks of her campaign, offered a message of unity to Americans.
Now, everybody is sad when their side loses an election. But the day after, we have to remember that we're actually all on one team. This is an intramural scrimmage. We're not Democrats first. We're not Republicans first. We are Americans first. We're patriots first.
Mr. Trump stunned the favored Clinton by winning several key states that traditionally vote Democratic, sending shockwaves around the country and around the world. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
It was a scene few could imagine just a few hours earlier. Donald Trump, trailing in the polls for much of the campaign, emerging victorious in a presidential result that stunned the nation and the world.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
Trump quickly moved to strike a note of conciliation after a long and bitter campaign that has divided the country.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
Trump also had a message for leaders in countries abroad, many of whom no doubt had expected a Clinton victory just a few hours earlier.
I want to tell the world community that while we will always put America's interests first, We will deal fairly with everyone, with everyone. All people and all other nations. We will seek common ground, not hostility, partnership, not conflict.
Hillary Clinton did not make a public concession speech, but is expected to speak later Wednesday. It fell to campaign chairman John Podesta to address disappointed supporters who were expecting to celebrate at a New York convention hall.
I know you've been here a long time, and it's been a long night, and it's been a long campaign. But I could say we can wait a little longer, can't we?
Republicans also retain control of both the Senate and the House of Representatives. Trump won key battleground states, including Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, and even Wisconsin, which last voted Republican in 1984. Trump won with a surge of support from white working-class voters, says expert David Schultz on Skype.
And what Trump has been very good at doing is bringing out non-traditional voters, which are hard to figure out in terms of polling if they're going to show up. Second, there's been what I call sort of the enthusiasm gap. The people who like Trump really like Trump and are turning out to vote. The people who support Clinton aren't quite as enthusiastic.
Trump now prepares for a presidential transition and an inauguration in January that even some of his supporters doubted would ever happen. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
U.S. stock indexes rallied sharply Wednesday as the initial shock quickly faded from Donald Trump's victory in the country's presidential election. Near the end of trading, the three main U.S. stock barometers were all ahead by more than a percentage point. European stocks also advanced, but Asian markets fell sharply. Analysts in New York told VOA that Trump's drive to cut regulation could be helpful to the oil drilling and banking sectors, but they also said Trump's restrictive trade policies could hurt overseas revenue for multinational companies. It's time now for us to check out what's happening on social media. We do that with International Edition's G. Abby Lee. She joins me right here in the studio with today's trending stories on the web. Hi, G.
Hello, Jim.
Well, we're less than 24 hours since the election came to its dramatic close. Mm-hmm. What's the buzz on social media?
Very different reactions from both sides, as you can imagine from the election results. But let's check out what Donald Trump himself tweeted last night. He wrote, "Such a beautiful and important evening. The forgotten man and woman will never be forgotten again. We will all come together as never before." That received about 500,000 likes within 10 hours. Trump supporters are obviously elated by the win, calling it the biggest upset in modern political history.
Well, there is the other side, and Clinton supporters must have more mixed reactions since she lost. What is the reaction like?
Yes, more complicated reactions and generally disappointment. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is one of the hottest Broadway actors right now, shared this tweet. "This too shall pass, my mom. And she has never been wrong about it. More than 31,000 people liked it." People in the media industry who the Trump supporters criticized heavily for being biased against him also shared thoughts. Andrew Kaczynski, who we actually mentioned on this show before, a political reporter who recently joined CNN from BuzzFeed, sent out this tweet. "As someone who spent 15 months researching Trump's past statements, if anyone says they know what a President Trump will do, they are lying."
Okay, and there are already mentions about the next presidential election. My goodness.
That's right. 4 years down the road, a Facebook page that used to be named Political Revolutionary has been changed to Bernie 2020, showing support for Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. But you know, by that time, he will be in his late 70s. And on Twitter, many users are asking First Lady Michelle Obama to run for the next one. Jim, back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, G, for the wrap-up. You can follow us on our Twitter account. International Edition can be followed at VOA_IE. Personally, I can be followed at VOA Stevenson, and G is at G Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia, analysts say a Trump presidency brings uncertainties for Asia. United Nations calls on Myanmar to allow aid into Muslim-majority area. Duterte's war on drugs fills prisons to breaking point. Taiwan's ruling party urges China to respect Hong Kong's democratic aspirations. India's shock withdrawal of larger banknotes sparks chaos in a cash economy. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more at the voanews.com website and also on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. A CNN exit poll from Election Day showed Donald Trump won the men's vote by 12 percentage points, but lost the women's vote to Hillary Clinton by that same 12-point margin. Kira Sambamatsu is a political scientist at the Center for American Women and Politics at Rutgers University in New Jersey. My colleague Michael Lippin asked her about the significance of Clinton's candidacy for the role of women's issues in American politics.
I think one of the most interesting aspects of the campaign is her emphasis on women as a voting bloc and issues important to women, the way she made Trump's treatment of women and objectification of women a campaign issue. We've seen the issue of sexual assault get a national hearing in a way we've never seen before. So she has really campaigned in a way that was very different from past Democratic presidential nominees. Partly that is a function of Trump and what he brought to the table and the baggage that he had and the mistakes that he's made and the person that he is. But part of it was her as the first female presidential candidate to compete at this level and her strategic decisions to really court women and to emphasize those types of issues. So it's been a very different kind of campaign than we've seen. So she really changed the nature of the typical Democratic presidential campaign.
I also wanted to ask about women who have voted for Donald Trump. I think it's clear that he has gotten a significant number of women votes. How much can you sympathize with American women who decided that Trump would be the better president?
Well, I think there were, Trump appeals to, obviously, he was able to get the Republican base to come home. And, of course, we do find women in both parties, although women, there is a gender gap with women preferring the Democratic Party over the Republican Party. And that is probably going to be shown to be true in this election. He's courted economic anxiety and racial anxiety, anti-immigrant sentiment. And so for a variety of reasons, I think he's appealed to women and men. We've seen big differences in the kinds of women that appeal to Trump versus Clinton. So, for example, we're seeing women of color strongly for Clinton. We're seeing college-educated women more for Clinton, more less educated and lower class men and women more for Trump. So there's certainly differences among women that we have to take into account.
Kira Sambamatsu of Rutgers University speaking with International Edition's Michael Lippin. With Donald Trump now the U.S. president-elect, foreign policy experts expect him to change Washington's approach towards some of the world's most pressing issues. VOA State Department correspondent Nike Ching has more.
From the threat of terrorism and conflict in the Middle East, to aggression by Russia in the Ukraine and a more assertive China, President-elect Trump will face a series of global challenges that will affect America's national interests. Trump has vowed to win the war against violent extremism as one of his top priorities. But many analysts say the rhetoric he used on the campaign trail will not help.
When you're on the world stage, everybody's paying attention to everything you do, and you're going to find words have consequences. Words matter to other people. The way you talk about issues, the way you frame conflicts, the way you try and deal with them matters a lot.
During the campaign, Trump talked about the benefit of working with Russia viewed as an adversary by the Obama administration. This view worries and puzzles many foreign policy experts.
If we were to judge his policy or try to understand his policy on the basis of what he said recently, then I'd be very concerned. He's ignorant of basic facts about Russian aggression in Ukraine. He has questioned our commitment in NATO to our allies, and all that's very dangerous.
As for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a free trade pact with the vast growing Asia-Pacific region, regional experts do not foresee it moving forward under a Trump administration. Given his skepticism about free trade deals, the president-elect is likely to take a more forceful stance regarding tensions in the South China Sea, a busy waterway that affects trillions of dollars in trade.
There has to be a more robust presence. And a lot of people talk about ships going in to do freedom of navigation operations. That's just one piece. It's about engagement. It's about exercises. It's about trade and defense. I think there's a consensus we need to do more.
While some analysts see the president-elect as a wild card on foreign policy, they will look to his choices for the cabinet and other top posts for clues to how his White House will approach the world. Maggie Chin, VOA News, the State Department.
There is so much more on our website at voanews.com as we have over 2 months of transition going on as Donald Trump prepares to take office on January 20th. You can find out so many different angles to this story at our website. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. Twitter, we are at @VOA_IE, and on Facebook at VOA Now. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
Hi there, this is Larry London, the host of Border Crossings. Nice to meet you. I would love for you to join us each and every day, Monday through Friday, on Border Crossings for requests, dedications, giveaways, and surprise guests. We've got some of today's biggest hitmakers coming into the studio to talk about their music. And all we're missing is you. So join us Monday to Friday, right here on Border Crossings. This is the Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. A member of the popular British-Irish boy band One Direction has a new solo single out. International Edition's Sarah Williams talks to Border Crossings host Larry London.
Well, Sarah, thanks for having me on the show. And today we're looking at one member of One Direction, a band that's been around since 2012 and formed on the very popular show X Factor on TV in the UK. And they are now on hiatus, at least that's what they're calling it, although all the members of the band are off doing solo things. Zayn Malik, who just goes by Zayn now, about 6-8 months ago, released a solo album. He was the first member of the band to go solo and release a solo album, which has done very well. Now, the second member of One Direction has actually released material. His name is Niall Horan, and he's just put out a song that he wrote and recorded called This Town. And I really like the song. I really like the sound. Niall is from Ireland. He's a very popular member of the band, well-liked by all of their fans, which are called One Directioners all around the world. So I think we should check out the new Niall Horan song.
Waking up to kiss you and nobody's there. The smell of your perfume still stuck in the air. It's hard.
Okay, well, if members of One Direction are now doing solo albums, does this mean the group might break up?
Or? Sarah, you've asked the question of the hour. That's what all the fans want to know. Although, this past week, one of the guys in the band posted that a reunion is absolutely a possibility. Although when they first separated back in March, they said this is only going to be a short-term thing. This is only going to be about a year. We need a breather. They just came off the road, just finished promoting their fifth album. And so we all believed and bought into that story. But then Harry Styles went off and filmed Dunkirk, signed a solo contract with Columbia Records, recorded three solo songs which have yet to be released, and the other guys in the band also working on solo material. Liam is at home taking care of his newborn son, Freddie, and Louis is working on solo material. So all the guys are doing stuff. They're involved in other things, and it's looking less and less likely that they will reunite, at least anytime soon. And this often happens, like NSYNC and all those bands that kind of go in different directions. They tend not to get back together when they've achieved success as solo artists. And Niall is on his way with his very first song now.
Okay, well, best of luck to him and to the other members of One Direction. Thanks very much, Larry. That is Larry London. He is the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
As if the whole world was watching, I'd still dance with you. Drive highways and byways, be there with you. Over and over, the only truth.
Now that you've been listening to International Edition, we're all going to go one direction to our website, voanews.com. And then we'll check out the Facebook page at VOA Now, and then see what's happening on Twitter at VOA_IE. So much to do throughout our day. Thanks for joining us. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Carl Starling. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Much has changed in Afghanistan since U.S.-led forces helped topple the Taliban regime 15 years ago, said Secretary of State John Kerry at a recent conference on Afghanistan.
Since 2001, maternal mortality in childbirth in Afghanistan has gone down by 75%. Average life expectancy has risen from 42 years to 62 years. Access to basic health care has skyrocketed from 9% to 67%. In 2001, there was only one television station, and it was owned by the government. Now there are 75 stations, and all but two are privately owned. Back then, there were virtually no cell phones, zero. Today, there are 18 million cell phones covering about 90% of residential areas connecting Afghans to the world.
Nonetheless, despite many positive changes, the government and people of Afghanistan are still facing the same foe. Today, the Taliban are again trying to test the Afghan government's resolve, and Afghan forces continue to bravely repel these challenges, said Secretary of State Kerry. There is only one way to end this conflict, and that is through a political settlement negotiated between Taliban fighters and the Afghan government, said Secretary of State Kerry. Only through peace will Afghanistan achieve lasting stability and ultimately a full drawdown of international military forces. And the world community fully recognizes what is at stake, he said. That is why some 70 countries, including the United States, have pledged a total of $15.2 billion to support Afghanistan through the year 2020. This international support, said President Ghani, will not only help the Afghan government defeat the Taliban insurgency, but also expand its economy, fight corruption, and support human rights. The United States, said Secretary of State Kerry, pledges to deepen our strategic partnership with Afghanistan and to work with Congress to provide civilian assistance at or very near the current levels, on average, all the way through 2020. That is our financial commitment. And we expect to continue a significant, though gradually declining, level of support as Afghanistan later becomes more self-reliant through the end of the transformation decade.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.